My name is Dr. Michael Brown, and this is Three Words, a bite-sized podcast about the significant, simple, and yet very strategic choices that all of us can make in order to feel fully alive. And we want to not only feel alive, but to feel well, to have balance in our lives. And yet, as Bo and I chatted about today, sorry, balance is impossible. Listen in. Bo, thanks for being with me today. It's always a pleasure having my best friend in these conversations and being able to kind of bounce ideas back and forth. And, you know, it's interesting. I think we learn as much for ourselves as even the knowledge that we're giving to our listeners and viewers. So I'm excited to have these conversations with you, and particularly about these three words that you're going to share with us, because I think our listeners and viewers are really going to resonate.
Today, we're talking about this, Michael. Balance is impossible.
You know, it's a negative three-word phrase. What we cannot do, right? What we cannot achieve. But balance is a preoccupation. Mm-hmm. Everyone's talking about it. I got to find balance. Mm-hmm. I need work-life balance. I need the balance between my personal and my professional life. I need balance between fun and family and faith and friends. And how do I make it all work? And how do I fit it all in? And so I'm really excited to just kind of tee you up. Obviously, you came in with these three words. Balance is impossible. Why is this important to you?
Well, I get the chance to work with lots of leaders around the country, and all of them, every single one of them wrestles with this, especially with work-life balance. They want to have it. They wish they had it. They feel guilty for not having it. And I like kind of reaching my hand across the table and say, don't worry. It's impossible. It doesn't exist. And the idea of balance is such the wrong word. So there is something that we want that's worth paying attention to. But balance doesn't exist. Work-life balance, friend-life balance. What does exist is priorities. What does exist is being able to be present. What does exist is being able to chase and pursue what matters to you most. And we'll get to this in a little bit. But so often I want to say, what's under the surface? So let's talk about that a little bit. What do you think is behind the desire for balance?
I think this sense of well-being is at the root of it. I want to feel well. Hmm. I want to not just be living, but I want to feel alive. Hmm. I want to feel as though, honestly, when people use the term balance or work-life balance, they want more life than they want work, because most people are treating Monday through Thursday as a dress rehearsal for the weekend. We are not living for weekdays, which is one of the podcast episodes we recently posted. You know, live not just for weekends, but weekdays. I think it's kind of a disguise for the fact that I don't want to work as hard. Mm-hmm. I want all the benefits of work without doing the work. Mm-hmm. I want all the benefits. I want to be amazing. I want to be an expert. I want to be wealthy. I want to be famous. I want to be distinguished and feel significant. But I don't want to do too much in that regard. I think that's one of the motivations.
I think so often when people talk about work-life balance, what they say is, I want to be able to do what I want when I want.
Flexibility.
I would like flexibility. And I'd also like to be able to keep my work over here and my family over here. And I'd like for my work not to infringe on my family. And I really don't want my family I just want to keep my camp separate. In fact, I think sometimes what we're talking about is work-life segregation. And what I want to encourage people to do is have work-life integration. And I love that you use a slightly different word as you talk about instead of balance.
So instead of balance, I like the idea of work-life harmony. I didn't choose the word. It's actually a report that came out from the United States Surgeon General where that department was talking about how do we achieve work-life harmony and how do we increase job satisfaction. But it makes me sad, even the comment you made earlier. This idea that I'm going to keep my family and my friends and my life over here and my work somewhere distant out here. That's where I feel like most of us view work as a job and not a sense of vocation, calling, something that's connected to my core values. It's something I just have to put up with. And I think that's one of the reasons that we're so craving work-life balance, because you and I mean, obviously in the third season of our lives, the season of influence, in many ways, we're doing the things that we most love. We love the work that we do. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind when it creeps into my personal life. I don't mind when my family and my friendships and my work and my calling and my career all kind of mesh together, because I love them all. And I think that desire for work-life balance means I might not like that one part of my life as much as I do the other.
Yeah, what if instead of seeing our work as cheating our kids, as we could see it as part of training our kids? the way that we talk about our work, the way we involve them in some of our conversations and what we're wrestling in and what's going on. And the same thing for our work. Wouldn't our workplace be more rich? Wouldn't it be a more enjoyable place if we brought some of who we are into that workplace? Now, that might sound sort of pie in the sky and that's idealistic thinking. Well, take the extremes out and say, would that be better? I think it would be better. And I just want to comment on the, I love what you said about, I don't want to just treat my 9 to 5 like, you know, I'm a slave for the weekend. I think if you treat your work like it is a time card, then your work is going to start treating you like you're a time card puncher, right? If you show up and say, no, I'm a contributor. I'm bringing my whole self to this work. I'm going to be fully present and fully engaged. I think that you will find that you get some of the flexibility that you crave when you show up that way. The same thing is true with our families or with our friends. We treat our life like it's a budget, like I'm supposed to try to give a quantity amount rather than saying, what if I showed up and tried to give the highest quality possible? I'm not looking for balance. I'm looking for integration. I'm looking for wholeness.
And I'm looking to be fully present in all of my spaces. You and I are writing a book right now. We're co-authoring a book entitled Be Fully Present. And it's interesting. One of the things that you have shared as we're kind of bouncing back and forth co-authoring this is this idea that I chose to be here. Mm-hmm. And so in many ways, if I'm out of balance, if I am not living my best life, if I am feeling depleted and exhausted and not happy, I chose to be here. Mm-hmm. If I feel like, wait, I'm working too many hours, I chose to work too many hours.
Yeah.
If I'm a slave to my schedule, I chose to enslave myself to my schedule. I think in many ways, if we call work-life balance, or even this conversation in general, that balance is this circumstance that's happening to me and outside of me mm-hmm. versus something I'm building. I'm mm-hmm. building a life of integration, of harmony, of balance, though it's truly impossible. I'm choosing my way into the life I'm living today. In fact, the reason I agree with you that balance is impossible, and I've said this in a variety of spaces and places and on a numerous stages, is that if you feel like you ever at that point in your life, that week, that those few days where you're like, man, I think I've achieved it. I think I just feel balanced. Don't get too excited. You're like a pendulum. You're basically on your way to the other side. You've caught yourself at a snapshot. Right. As human beings, we tend to fluctuate. Mm-hmm. We tend to overcompensate. And part of that is just being okay with that. Mm-hmm. That I don't have to. One of the episodes that we did with my dear friend Greg was progress over perfection. Balance presumes perfection. I'm going to find that
yes.
one sweet spot where everything's going to be well and I'm going to feel fully alive and it's not going to be hard. It's just unachievable. I'm going to hit pause right now and acknowledge what you feel, what I feel, what Bo feels, and that is balance is hard to achieve and even impossible. Would you share this episode with someone who you feel like is struggling with this idea of balance and harmony and integration in their lives and maybe feeling a little burnout? Now back to our conversation.
And I wonder if another root desire underneath the desire for balance is actually for margin. If we're looking for balance, we're like, why can't my work give me more balance? Or why can't my family give me a break? Or all those things. I wonder if the root issue is a lack of margin and an inability to say no. And I would just say, okay, if that's you, which sometimes is me, first, what we ought to do is say, what should I say no to this week? How could I give myself a little bit more space? And then what would it look like in the things I'm saying yes to show up and be fully present there? And I wonder how much of the pain of feeling out of balance would be resolved by creating a little more margin and increasing my presence with whatever I'm doing.
As well as creating healthy routines and rhythms. I mean, I say it all the time. The most important 2 hours of my day is the first hour and the last hour before I go to bed, which are the 2 hours that I'm most exhausted and tend to squander the most. Mm-hmm. And so I think healthy rhythms and routines as well makes me feel, at least, though it's fully impossible to be perfectly balanced, at least a little more balanced. I quite honestly think how we feel and how present we are and how we're doing from 9 to 5 or 8 to 6, a lot of those feelings and experiences at work is a result of the decisions we've made from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. You know, we're blaming work, but yet those 12 hours, we have not had great routines and rhythms in all the various dimensions of my life, recreationally, emotionally, financially. We're making decisions that really send me spinning and out of balance, but we don't own it. So I think owning the fact that if I feel like there's a lack of integration, that there's a lack of balance, lack of harmony in the various facets of my life. I can choose. I chose my way into it. Mm-hmm. I can choose my way out of it.
You can. Yeah. And you're going to let some people down, and some folks might be disappointed, and
for sure,
friends might be disappointed. You can't go to see that movie with them, and your work might be disappointed that you say no to a project that really you should have not said yes to. And your family might be disappointed that you are not giving them quantity time. But I think we get real clarity about ourselves when we decide what is the best that I can give, instead of saying, what's the most that I can give?
Ooh, that's
those good. Are very different, aren't they? To say, at my best, my highest contribution to the people around me, I want to do that, not just try to fill every minute and give my most. Mm-hmm.
We actually were talking about this at lunch today, but this idea that sometimes the speed to speed up and to accomplish more means to slow down.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a balance conversation. Mm-hmm. That's a rhythm and a routine conversation. And honestly, we can actually achieve a sense of well-being and balance even in a few moments. More can happen in a minute than can happen in a month. If I just take 5 minutes and just take my emotional temperature, if I just take 1 minute and just take five deep breaths, if I take 90 seconds and text that friend and tell them I appreciate you and I care about you, mm-hmm, and I'm thankful for your friendship, there's things that we can do in the midst of our day, in those small moments, in those small decisions. The little things, friend, are the big things.
They are.
And so I think in many ways, this balance is, we think there needs to be this huge overhaul to our lives, mm-hmm, to experience this balance. It's this big project that we need to undergo to finally find and experience balance in life. It's the little choices. It's the small decisions, but you do them over and over and over
again. Yeah. Yeah. And I would even say do them once. Sometimes we create this perfect ideal of, oh, I should be taking all of my kids out on dates and I should be calling my parents. And well, what would it look like to spend 15 intentional minutes with your kid? That might mean more to them than going on an hour and a half date with your child. And you haven't called your mom in a little while. And so what if you spent 5 minutes on the phone? Isn't it amazing how when you have the friend who's willing to pick up the phone when they just have 5 minutes, how it can be more meaningful than the person who gets on your calendar for 90 minutes 2 weeks from now? There's something about just saying, I can't do it perfectly, but I can start. I'm not going to wait until I can have the best exercise routine to start exercising now.
Yeah. Well, you just gave examples that all revolve around human connection. You may not have realized that, but everything you just gave as an illustration was about human connection. Because I would propose to our listeners and viewers, and even in our conversation today, that if you are making choices, even small choices, as you described, one time, you're going to feel a sense of well-being. You're going to feel, because I think in many ways, that's the interchangeable word, is that I'm not looking for balance. I'm looking for well-being.
That's great.
Well-being, while balance is impossible, well-being is possible. And I will feel well as a human being if I did have that 15 minutes with my child, if I did have that conversation with my parents, if I can't imagine someone who's having ongoing human meaningful connections with human beings, strangers, acquaintances, family, friends, romantic others, children, extended, and they're probably not thinking to themselves, man, I feel burnout.
Mm.
Wow. I feel exhausted. I feel like my life is out of balance.
Yeah.
If human beings are the center of it all, I think that you're probably feeling a greater sense of balance than the person around you.
Yeah. Another thought came to mind as you were saying that, which is, I do believe we can have almost everything. You can do a lot. You just can't have it all right now, and you can't have it all at once. And so if you're looking for balance, meaning you want the promotion and you want to write the book and you want to do the big project, but you also want your golf game to be good and run a marathon and date your wife and raise little kids. Well, all of those things I think are possible for your life. Your life is actually much longer than we think that it is. And you can maybe have all of that, but you can't have it all right now. So I would dare a lot of people listening to, if you have little kids at home, to say, oh, you can put your golf clubs away. They'll be there when your kids can play golf with you. And you know what? The Boston Marathon will be there too. You don't have to run a marathon this year. And the ability to write a book or get a promotion. You can probably do all of it. You just can't do all of it right now. What if we recognized our finiteness, our limitedness, and then leaned in and said, well, the limited amount that I can do, I'm going to do it all the way.
So in many ways, my favorite yes recently is my ability to say yes to no. But what I'm hearing you say is, I don't need to say no. I might just need to say not yet.
Yeah.
And not now.
Yeah.
Which would probably I could feel even as I say that, like just breathe a little easier, right? Because I feel like I'm on this race. We treat life so often like a sprint as opposed to a marathon. But part of that is because we're living unhealthy. We don't live with boundaries. We don't say no. We're being reckless in our financial choices, our recreational choices. And so we really feel like life is short and limited versus saying, as you said, man, I'm living healthy. So I have capacity. I actually had a client who a couple of years ago said, I'm going to hire you as my executive coach. And there's only one thing that can get you fired. I was like, oh, this is interesting. Tell me that I can't do something I really want to do. You have one job, Michael Brown, and that is to help me expand my capacity so that I can do the things that I love and I can carry more on my plate. And in many ways, what you're saying is there's ways to develop capacity so that we can actually carry more and feel more balanced. But also there's going to be a time where the plate has no more room, where we actually need to say sure. No and not yet. Give us the final word on this conversation about balance, my friend.
Oh, I would just say you're not behind. You're not behind. You're not stuck. There's plenty of time. Be fully present with the limited few things you can do right now. And I think the feeling that you were really chasing will come.
Which is well-being. Yeah. Thank you, my friend, for this conversation. Always inspiring. Again, as always, thank you for listening in to Three Words today, my conversation with Bo about balance and harmony and integration and how to honestly avoid burnout and become feeling more alive and experiencing well-being. We love investing in you, and we would invite you to continue to invest in yourself by going to dmbcoaching.com/subscribe. Again, dmbcoaching.com/subscribe to continue our conversations, to deepen our connection, and to continue to receive resources from DMB Coaching and Three Words Podcast. You won't regret it, and we look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.